One of the things that I like to do is to study the past, to look at past generations and to think about the things that they went through. And lately I've been studying especially the church here in North Dakota, the history of our synod within this state. I've been studying how the pastors first came here and studying the things that they went through, the struggles which they overcame. And it's very difficult not to admire their zeal for God, because these pastors, before there were even roads, traveled great distances to serve families all over North Dakota, often at great personal risk to themselves. There was more than one occasion where they nearly died. But then once I get done studying all those things, I look at our own time. And I often wonder what happened between then and now. Why does it seem like the good old days are gone? And I know for a fact that I'm not the only one who thinks this way. Very often when we look back at the past, we reminisce about how things used to be, how different it was. And we might especially be tempted to do that when it comes to the church. Where are the good old days when the church was full? Where are the good old days when the future seemed so bright? Is there any hope for the days to come? When we meet Elisha in our Old Testament reading, he is also wondering about the future. Because on the one hand, he knows what is about to happen. He knows that his master Elijah is about to be taken away from him. Twice the sons of the prophets told him that Elijah would be taken away. Twice he said that he knew it already. And twice he told them to be quiet, because it was a reality that he didn't want to deal with just yet. He chose instead to stick closely by his master's side as he went from place to place. Because Elijah was more than just his master. Elijah was also a symbol of hope for God's people in that time. Because Elijah and Elisha lived during a very difficult time for Israel. Most of Israel had turned away from God. Most of Israel had turned after false gods, serving them instead. And even the kings of Israel had turned away. Some of the kings were even killing the prophets of God. So yes, it was a very difficult time. In fact, it was so bad that Elijah himself once wondered if he was the only faithful man left. But Elijah was a symbol of hope. As long as Elijah was with them, they could at least be certain that God was in fact with them as well. Because look at all the wonderful things that Elijah had done. Had not Elijah called down fire from heaven? Had not Elijah called for a drought that lasted for 3.5 years? Had not Elijah raised the dead, multiplied food, destroyed his enemies, all by the power of God? As long as Elijah was there, there could be no doubt that God was there too. But now that was all about to go away. Elijah would soon be gone. And if Elijah was gone, how could Elisha know that God was there? It seemed like the good old days were about to come to an end. And it seemed like there was nothing good in the days ahead. And even now, as we meet Elijah in this reading, Christians, there is no doubt that God was with him. He performs one last miracle. We hear in verse 8, Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. Elijah parted the waters of the Jordan, just as Moses long ago had parted the waters of the Red Sea. And just as Joshua also in his days passed through that same Jordan with the waters on one side and the other. Elijah's miracle was pointing back to the good old days from long ago, when there was no doubt that God was with his people. And I wonder, as Elisha stood there and saw what happened before him, if he asked himself if God would still be there. And so as they're walking along, Elisha asks for a hard thing. Hard because only God could give it to him. Give me a double portion of your spirit, he says. Give me something to hold on to. Give me a hope for the future, something that I can know that God is still with us. And Elijah says, it can be yours, but only if you see me go. If you do not see me, then it will not be yours. But as they were walking along, the moment came. Chariots of fire and horsemen of fire separated the two of them. The angels of God in the form of a chariot and of horsemen carried Elijah away, carried him alive up into heaven. And that was a great thing that God had done for his prophet. In fact, it was something very rare, something that showed his glory that he had done for God. Because there were only three people in all of the history of the world who went up into heaven in this way. That was Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus Christ. God was honoring his prophet by carrying him up in this powerful way. But even in that moment, as Elisha saw him go away, he was not comforted. He watched as his master went up and he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he's not talking about the angels when he says this, Christians. It is an expression of his grief. And we know this because later on, as Elisha himself is about to die, the King Joash at that time says the same thing. 2 Kings chapter 13, we are told, when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And it makes sense if we think of a chariot as a symbol of strength. Elisha is basically saying, the strength of Israel is going away. The hope of Israel is going up by a whirlwind. If Elijah is gone, how could they stand? If the strength of Israel has gone away, how can they know that God is with them? He even tears his clothes in two in his grief. He's convinced that there is nothing left. He's convinced that the good old days are gone. But he still had Elijah's cloak. That had not gone up into heaven with him. And it served as a kind of reminder of the way things used to be. And he took it back with him to the Jordan. And now we can see him standing right next to the shore, probably hesitating for a moment, wondering what was going to happen. But he rolled up that cloak, and he swung it down just as Elijah had done. And he cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Is God still with us, as in the days of old? Is God still with us in these dark and latter days? Is God still with us when things are getting worse rather than better? Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? But as it struck the water, a miracle happened. The same miracle that Elijah had done. The waters separated one side to the other so that he was able to walk across on dry land. Elisha had received the double portion of the Spirit just as he had been promised. Elijah was gone, but God was not. God was still with his people, giving them strength. And now they had the answer to the question, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He was right there. The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. Christians, I'm not up here trying to convince you that the good old days weren't actually good. In many ways, they were better than things are now. God gave us great blessings in years gone by. It was a great blessing when the churches were fuller. It was a great blessing when more people wanted to be in church. It was a great blessing when we lived in a nation that was not so openly hostile against God. We should not make light of those things. Those were indeed better times. And I'm not up here trying to convince you that things right now are actually better than they are. We do live in difficult times. Things have changed, and not always for the better. It is a more difficult time to be a Christian. God is the one who gives us hard times, and God is the one who gives us good times. And if right now things are hard, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's okay to admit that things have changed. There is no sin in saying that things used to be better. But what I want you to avoid today is the temptation to doubt and despair that often goes along with that. Because Satan often wants to convince you that things are worse and therefore there is no hope. Things have changed, he says, and therefore God has cast you off. Things are getting worse and worse and worse, and therefore there is no future at all. And I think he wants to tempt us in this way, especially regarding this church. We see these empty pews, and maybe we wonder if there's anything left. Are we doomed? We see the smaller congregation, and we're tempted to think that God is nowhere to be found, that it's just all simply over. But that's not true. God is always with his church, Christians, just as he has promised to be. And even if things are different, even if there's not as many of us as there used to be, God is still strengthening us with his Spirit. He has brought the church through harder times than this one. And if he can bring it, and if he did it then, he can also do it again. And even if our times are hard, Christians, yet God is using them as a way of teaching us to always look towards him. Because even if we have nothing left, we still have God. And God will never leave us or forsake us. But how do we know that, we ask? How do we know that God is still at work? How do we know that God is still with us? Well, open your eyes. Open your eyes and look around you. Do you not see the power of God? Whenever hearts are changed by the gospel, God is there. Whenever the power of sin is broken in our lives, God is there. Whenever we are built up by the hearing of God's word, God is there. Whenever our sins are forgiven, God is there. These things have not changed, even if everything else has. And Jesus himself has promised us that he will be with us to the very end of the age. not just in the good times, but in all times. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, Christians, God is there. Therefore, let us not give in to temptation and despair about the future of this church, but rather let us boldly go out proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us go out boldly knowing that God is always with us, just as he has promised to be. He is with us not just in the good old days, but now and in every day to come. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who cares for us at all times and who has promised to be with us through all things, help us to always look towards you, knowing that you will lead us unto glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.